Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, it's quite important to thank, Matias Sangala with the twilight. It's, 29th of October, 2025, 15 minutes past the hour of six, 16 minutes past the hour of six. And we are progressing at an understandable pace. And, this is the moment that we discuss about everything which is happening. Particularly in line with our bread and butter. What are those things which are affecting our bread and butter? What are those things which are affecting our environmental issues? What is happening in Namibia in terms of policy making, in terms of policy implementation, in terms of the impact of the person who is on the ground? What is an ordinary Namibian who, is not well connected? What is the impact, that decision has to an ordinary Namibian who is not, part of the mainstream, economic activities, and also what is the link between an ordinary citizen and also either is a political elite or either is those who are in charge of directing state resources, and also how have we improved for the past 35 years, and what are some of the things that we are still struggling with that we need to work on, and where do we need to thank ourselves, because it cannot be correct, it can't just be complaints, but there are also moments where we say, I think here in Namibia we have scored, we did well, we made an hat-trick in terms of one of the environmental sector. But yeah, wherever you are finding yourself, you made the right choice. The fact that you are awake and the fact that you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, Igala FM, then that is a good choice. So every morning we are indicating to you that tell yourself that you are number one. Tell yourself that nobody can go between you and your goals. It's only you and your mind. And also tell yourself that there is no better moment than today. And it's up to you how you view the day. No matter the situation on the jungle, we must make sure that we move forward, and let us not abandon the national environmental projects, because that is the only way that we are going to share that common cause. And it's quite interesting actually that we have different thinking in terms of business, in terms of politics, in terms of even religious thinking. The fact that we are moving toward the same goal does not make us to say this one is on the other side, this one is on the other side. Disagreements are good as long as we are disagreeing and agreeing for the better good and the greater good of human beings, and also to make sure that development in Namibia is rich. And not only in terms of better buildings, better roads, good infrastructure, then we get all the awards from the world, but also development that touch a human being, development where food, not only it's not food that GMO, development where quality food, quality diet is not negotiable, development where basic medical treatment cannot be begged for, and development where the quality of life is priority number one, and parents should not be caring too much about should not be caring too much about how long their small children will live, and how are they going to survive the complicated street of any town you find yourself, the security of human, and all the good things that Namibia is planning also to achieve. Now let us start with what is happening around the world. Let's look at Nigeria, our very own billionaire, our very own business magnate, Aliko Dangote. He stated that the Nigeria billionaire Aliko Dangote is planning to expand, Africa's biggest oil refinery, and he's planning to expand its capacity to 1.4 million barrels per day to meet growing fuels in continent and beyond. That is one of the positive news. It stated that Aliko Dangote, who is Africa's richest person, said Dangote Refinery in Nigeria, economic hub of Lagos, will more than double its current existing capacity of 650,000 barrels per day with the aid of external financing. When it's completed, this will be the largest refinery ever built at a single site, surpassing India, Jamaga Refinery, Dangote told reporters on Sunday, referring to the world biggest refinery in India. Now, this is one of the positive development, particularly when development is directed and driven from home, where development is directed and driven from home, not only to say, investor, please kindly come and assist me. I want to build a road from my house to connect the main road. I want to build a clinic. Investor, please come and assist me. But Dangote is found running. He's a man who supply oil not only in Africa, but beyond. But what lesson can we learn from here? And also, what are the challenges this man is also going through? And what can also we learn from him? Because like any other African business person, Dangote is also at many occasions expressed his unhappiness, particularly when it comes to African governance, when it comes to the way African view domestic businesses, and also the way regulators are not protecting African businesses. But he's on the move, and at one point the biggest refinery in Africa was also held its operation due to some industrial challenges. But this is one of the positive developments to say, if Dangote can do it, why other African business person cannot do it? Where are they, especially in this field of oil, and gas? And also to look at the future, looking at where we are now as a country, I think nobody can disagree with me that Namibia has always been strategically positioned, particularly when it's coming to trade. Namibia has always been forming good partnership with other trade partners. But the question is that have we utilized those opportunities to the fullest? Have we utilized those opportunities to the fullest? Or we are just a trading partner at a smaller scale? And looking at this, and also looking at Namibia aspiration, one will be able also to see through the lines that when things go according to plan, people like Arikon Dangote, those are the people that will also assist Namibia in realizing their goals. You may be able to understand that he also at one point visited Namibia and show interest in working together with Namibia, especially when it's coming to the industry of oil and gas. And you must be able to realize that Namibia and Nigeria trade was reboosted, revived, particularly to the bilateral commission which was held at the beginning of this year, where these two countries realized that although Namibia and Nigeria have been in bilateral relation for a long time, the volume of trade is quite not significant. That's why you see in June our first shipment of salt to African Continental Free Trade Area land in Nigeria. It is quite a very positive thing, but there is also areas of improvement and areas of opportunities that we must look at. So let us look at this news of Mr. Aliko Dangote and also move forward.
Largest refinery is about to get even bigger. The Dangote Petroleum Refinery, located in the Lekki Free Zone, is expanding its output to 1.4 million barrels per day in a move that will make it the largest refinery in the world, overtaking India's Jamnagar Refinery.
We're expanding the Dangote Refinery. We're announcing it officially. We're expanding the Dangote Refinery from 650,000 barrels per day to 1.4 million barrels per day. This will make it the largest refinery in the world ever. This expansion reflects our confidence in Nigeria's future, our belief in Africa's potential, and our commitment to building energy independence for our continent and the world.
The expansion, expected to be completed within 3 years, will also create about 65,000 jobs, with 85% reserved for Nigerians.
Over 85% of our workforce will be Nigerian, with ongoing investment in skills and technology transfer.
Dangote further announced plans to list the refinery on the Nigerian Stock Exchange by 2026, allowing Nigerians to own a stake in the facility.
Within the next year, we plan to actually list the Dangote Refinery and Petrochemicals Complex shares on the Nigerian Stock Exchange, which is NGX. And that is a step towards broader ownership and market transparency. We are going to list and we want to give all Nigerians the opportunity of owning part of the refinery. You can buy as many shares as you can. We are actually, you know, thinking that this refinery should belong to all Nigerians.
Dangote expressed appreciation to President Bola Tinubu for his unwavering support, adding that the expansion will cement Nigeria's position as a global refining hub. When completed, Dangote Refinery believes this will not only redefine global refining capacity, but also boost local job creation and energy security.
That means that, yes.
In Lagos, for News Central, Israel.
Yeah, that is Aliko Dangote. There is expansion of oil refinery, and when you are refining your own oil, then you can sell your final product. We'll be able also to understand that that is a way, especially to Africa and the world. It's going to be the biggest refinery in the world, overtaking one of the biggest refineries, which has been leading from India, overtaking Jamgar refinery. And maybe the question is that what can we learn from here? Because Dangote is stating that 35% of Nigerian who are working in Dangote refinery, 85% of the workforce are Nigeria, and other percentage, particularly capacitating and also improving the skill set. This question of saying African cannot do things, I think we should go away with it. When we look at oil and gas, the issue of oil has always been at the center. When you look at the green sector, the issue of oil, skills has always been at the center. But if Africans are well trained, they can be able to drive their own thing. They can be able to drive their own their own industries, and no one can come and develop us, because when we are begging, when we are always in need, when we are always the one who are struggling, that is what the world wants. And no one will want you to completely independent unless it's you, because that is the only way you are going to save your money, you are going to save your strength, and also you are not going to make sure that your people continue suffering. Now looking at Namibia in the sector of oil, maybe and I think that is also one of the conversations that we are going to expand on, to say when Dangote is also indicating that in the oil industry, it's also open for Nigerians to buy stakes in that refinery. How many of Namibians have been or understand gaining of stakes from national resources? Were those information clearly defined? And when you are speaking about those information, how many Namibians we are wise enough to have stakes in our own industries? Just to have stakes in your own industry when the industry is making money. Let me say you have shares in Namibia Oil and Gas. When the price is going up, you are getting your, either is your shares per quarter, per month, or per year. Depends on your investment.
Why pay more when you can pay less? At USAID, 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body lotion or cream, just $29.99. 350 milliliter trusted palm olive shampoo and conditioner, just $38.99 each. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, $133.99. Any 2 1-kilogram bags Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, just $58. Save $2. You save, I save, we all save at USAID.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
It's 31 minutes past the hour of 6. We are moving, we are progressing with Early Morning Scope. We are looking at affairs which are affecting our bread and butter. And development aspect is there's a statement from His Excellency Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika, especially regarding the elections which is happening today in Tanzania, and expressing his good wish, and also promoting of free and fair and independent elections. And maybe just to look at this statement is to say, fellow members, Southern Africa Development Community, the people of the United Republic of Tanzania will go through the polls tomorrow, that is today now, 29 October 2025, to elect the president, members of parliament, councillors, and with country's constitution. Then SADC has deployed election observers mission to the United Republic of Tanzania under the leadership of the Right Honorable Richard Mosoa, former Speaker of Parliament of Republic of Malawi, to observe country's pre-election phase. I call upon all the people of United Republic of Tanzania who are eligible to vote, do so in their large numbers, exercising their democratic rights, contributing to development and prosperity of their country. And also to wish, Tanzania is successful and peaceful elections. May this election strengthen democracy, foster national unity, and charter path prosperity to the United Republic of Tanzania. Now, that is a statement from Professor Peter Arthur Mutharika, who is recent elected president of Malawi, and currently serving as the chairperson of SADC Organ of Politics, Defense and Security. And two questions that we are asking here is to say, where is the main head of SADC? And what is the contribution of SADC leaders to internal democracy of their member state? Have they advised each other, either publicly or secretly, to say, guys, this is the direction? Because I do not have a problem with the internal politics of Tanzania at all. But there is a lot of questions around the treatment of opposition parties. There is a lot of questions around, the democracy at large, to say all the main political opposition are banned from participating. If they are not banned, their main leaders, their president and deputies are jailed. But the question is that what are we doing as Africans to make sure that when it's coming to genuine development, genuine advice, let us not interfere, but advise each other to say this is how things are being done, because otherwise it could not be right. And if you want to understand this, that why SADC in some occasion failed to operate successfully, is the share of brotherhood and sisterhoodness from the past that avoid or limit us to advise each other correctly. Somebody may ask also to say, why SADC's tribunal is ineffective? Where is it? It's here in Namibia. Why SADC tribunal is ineffective? Why is just, it's not the white elephant, the tribunal. It could be not right to say so, but why is not effective? Because there is no strong principle that maintained to say, even if you are my friend David, but it's an issue of constitutionality, this is how you should deal with issues. But now, you may also ask yourself to say, what is, what is the impact of not cooperating with each other have on countries' development? Look at Madagascar. The chairperson of SADC, I don't know now. There are prediction and speculation that is in France. The whole president with instrument of power of the region living in another country. It's not even a regional power. It's a country outside the zone. Now you are asking to say, why can't he even come to South Africa or Namibia or somewhere? Or maybe Angola? But yeah, it's a question of concern. And Mme Samia Suluhu is an easy victory to her because there's no opposition. There's no opposition in Tanzania which can compete with the current sitting head of state. But it's not something that we should learn. And we should also look at this from the other way. Maybe, could it be that the opposition leaders are also wrong? Could it be that the law is also operating correctly? If you are looking at it from other way, it doesn't mean that when an opposition is prosecuted, is always the one who is being victimized. Could it be that they are also not following the laws? Because sometimes the way we look at things from one perspective can also bring us problems sometimes. Could it be that it's a wrong timing? Could it be that the Tanzanian laws are so effective to that extent that any opposition who come in, who is, anybody who is not cooperating with the law can be dealt with the law to the fullest? Could it be like that way? So, it's a question of, concern, and also a question that we need to look at, particularly when we are analyzing issues, that it means that if you are powerless physically, it doesn't mean that you are always a real victim in any case. Because at the end of the day, things must be looked at from both views and also see it that way. But that is what's happened. But yeah, from there, before we come to the main conversation for today, let us look at South Africa. The state that South Africa has become the first African country and the only third nation worldwide to register a new twice-a-year HIV prevention JEP. New twice-yearly HIV prevention JEP. And it's like, in a medical term, you may want to say, it's a vaccine for HIV that is preventing HIV infection. And you know, it is believed that Lenacapavir LEN injection could end HIV and AIDS in the country within 14 to 18 years if enough people were able to take it. Yeah, you know, it's the latest story, particularly when it's coming to the medicine sector. To say South Africa has become the country, the third country nationwide to register for that newly HIV prevention JEP. And, you know, this case, could it be at the end of HIV? Is this JEP really effective? Is it the way to go? Is it the future? Or is another trouble coming through? Because, you know, in Africa, we always have a problem, and I have seen it with a lot of people, even during COVID, to say, no, guys, let's go and get vaccinated. There is always question, no, what, the beast and all these things, religious views, wiping the population. And then I ask the question to say, now, as an African, we can argue in and out about a certain vaccine coming in. But the question is that, what have we contributed to those vaccines? Do we have an alternative? And the other thing also that we can say, no, we don't want this injection. You are fighting against a vaccine, and you are always going to the hospital to look for Panandos and other medication. Have you contributed anything? If people wanted to erase you, they could have done that already. And I'm not saying it's not what it is, but it's just a question of, where are you? Do you have any negotiation power to say, no, I don't want that? You have abandoned your herbal medication, being told that it's evil and all those things. Now you are going back to something that you do not even understand the ingredients in it, as long as it's in a well-decorated bottle, and you are taking it. And when it's coming to vaccine, there's a lot of debates. Why is it always in Africa? Why is it always in Africa? But yeah, looking also in Rwanda, I think it's at the beginning of this month where we have stated that around 90, more than 90 million euros invested in Rwanda for expansion of vaccine industry. And at one point you can be able to see that it's a good investment. On the other side, you can also be able to see that it's not an investment that is for free. It's coming in terms of a grant and a loan. And it's also business to other people. But in terms of upgrading human health, in terms of upgrading the health standard of African, we must be able to make sure that that is prioritized by all means, and look at carefully. So let us look at this and also see what people has to say, especially with this HIV preventive jab, because HIV and AIDS is something which have really suffocated African countries, especially at its initial stage. But now, even in Africa, in Namibia, HIV is not a concern anymore, because it's well handled. It's not something, it's not a main emergency, it's not a debate issues. People understood. People understood the medication part of it. People are even, moving forward with their life. And, stigmatization is not there. And you cannot even detect who is infected, who is not infected, because it's not the case anymore. But, that is how human beings have been. It will not be the end of the world, and it's also not going to be the end of trouble. But yeah, let us look at this and move forward, because we are saying to say you cannot debate about economy without an effective, fit human being. That's why yesterday when we spoke about development by other mechanism, or to say developments without finance, there are other means of development, but looking at the human capacity, the health of a human being is a driver of development. Those who are driving industries, they are fit mentally, physically, so that they can be able to make critical, clear, and long-term decisions which are assisting or taking people out of poverty. That's why health issues, the same with security issues, are directly linked to economy and also to development in general.
Leave the Lena Capital. South Africa has become the first African country and only the third nation worldwide to register a new twice-yearly HIV prevention jab. It's believed the lenacapavir injection could end HIV/AIDS in the country within 14 to 18 years if enough people were able to take it. The rapid approval of the Len jab by the South African Medicines Regulator opens the way for the health department to begin providing citizens with the shot. It says it could start rolling out access from as early as February next year. However, initial Len doses are being paid for with a $30 million grant by the Global Fund to fight HIV, TB and malaria, enough for some 450,000 people to be phased in over 2 years. This is nowhere near the 1 to 2 million doses per year South Africa would need to end AIDS within 18 years. The revolutionary jab is almost full protection for HIV-negative people who weigh 35 kilograms or more against getting the virus through sex. Some 8 million South Africans live with HIV, and every week around 1,000 adolescent girls and young women become newly infected.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. That is what is happening. That is what is happening, especially in South Africa, regarding the health issues. The question also, question that we are also asking is to say, when are we going to be prioritizing the main priorities, and why can't we handle the issue of health once and focus on you know, key priority areas? And remember, in South Africa, South Africa is a very it's a very interesting country. If you look at the presidency of Thabo Mbeki, and it's quite surprising also, he is known to be the most intellectual person who formed institution, very smart international you know, a hero. But what you need to understand is that throughout the leadership of Thabo Mbeki as the second president of Democratic South Africa, he did not agree on the existence of HIV and AIDS. And there was no approval of this ARV. And in South Africa, people were dying, especially during the time of Thabo Mbeki. And so surprisingly. And you know, there was a certain minister who said, "No, people must use beetroots, and this thing can just go and all those." But people died. But when Zuma came in, who known to be the grade one graduate, somebody who just went until grade one and never have a formal education, understood this thing and said, "No, guys, let us use ARV. Let us prevent this. Let us condomize and all these things, and make sure that we contain the situation." Look at the statistics during Thabo Mbeki administration, and people were asking to say, "No, post presidency, this person must apologize and look at these things." But it's quite a very you know, sensitive issue. But that was one of the criticism during Thabo Mbeki administration. He did not fully agree on the existence of HIV and AIDS, and they had other traditional means of handling that situation. But it's quite interesting to look at. You can look at the statistics, you can look at that news, and you can also see how South Africa moved itself from that point, particularly when Msholozi took over and, you know, handled that health situation. It's quite interesting in the development and the politics of South Africa, especially when it's come to deal with healthy issues. Now, let's come back at home. Let's come back at home. Let's come back at home. And this is one of the news, especially going to be connected with our today's discussion, especially when you are looking at state and the SOEs and the development of SOEs. It was stated that yesterday, the President of the Republic of Namibia, Her Excellency Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has appointed Minister of Defense Frans Kapofi to be the interim Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, until to the point such a right person is appointed to handle that ministry. It's quite news, especially looking at the current situation where the president has to relieve her, you know, I think third strongest executive in terms of power structure. Have to relieve the deputy prime minister and the minister of industry, mines and energy from his post in that came on Sunday. And she immediately appointed herself to take over, not to leave a vacuum in leadership. And yesterday, President has appointed that Frans Kapofi to take over. Mr. Frans Kapofi is Minister of Defense and has been in government. He's one of, to say, the most experienced person when it's coming to governance, or senior politician, to take over that ministry. And also to see the full operation of the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. It's quite a very critical ministry. It's quite at the heart of Namibian economy. And it's quite at the heart of national development and also national discourse and discussions to say, you cannot speak about development in Namibia without speaking about mines. You cannot speak about development in Namibia without speaking about industry. because that is at the heart, that is at the center of national development. Then the question that you are asking also to say, why can't we, don't we have experienced people that can be, you know, appointed and deal with this issue once? And it's also going to let us also ask questions to say, why do we have a lot of interim leaders in Namibia? How can we fix our governance structure to say, if this is not able, who is the next able and capable candidate we can deploy that can lead this institution? How can we, you know, deal with this institution? Because remember, now you have a very critical ministry, and I do not know what the future looks like. But within that ministry, you have again a lot of acting CEOs and interims, you know, MDs within that ministry. Then the question is that what is, how can we strengthen that, and we also gain trust from those who we are doing businesses with? Because if you look at NIDA, it's an acting CEO after acting CEO after another acting CEOs. Then when you look at NAMCO, there's an acting MD, interim MD after an acting MD after another acting MD after another one, who left the position through suspension. Then the question is that as a domestic and external investors looking at critical areas such as oil and gas, how are we going to deal with these issues? Who are you going to speak with? Who are you going to negotiate with? And who are you going to do business with? Can we try to find a way as Namibians to say, let us give trust to some of our people and run institutions effectively? Because if you are running something on an interim base, you also know that maybe tomorrow you can also go. But are you going to put real more effort in that? But yeah, it's a question of concern. And that will also be in line with what we are going to discuss today, especially when you are going to look at corporate governance, to say what is the best way to deal with corporate issues in Namibia, particularly online with SOEs. And the good comparison is to look at South Africa, to say what brings South Africa to the point where it is now. I don't want to say it's chaos. I do not want to say that. But it's in a state of concern. It's in the state of concern where institutions which are holding each other accountable, there is no institution which can say I'm independent and very clear. If the judge is under investigation, and the investigator is also answering in the commission, then you have the top cop who is also being investigated, and you just do not know who has power in that sector. But where did it start? It start with well or unmanaged state resources in South Africa, and also the collapse of institutions, and the issue of corporate governance, and also the issues of corporate politics in SOEs and CADA deployment, which is quite a very, you can say it comes from a good intention, but this is destroying institutions. It has destroyed institutions in SA. So, comrade, you are coming from exile with a grade 10 certificate. If you are not able to make it through parliamentary list, can give you a board position at Bosasa. Whether you understand the entity or not, you are going to wear a suit and you are going to operate this institution. But what would the impact going to be? This person will sign a document that he does not understand, then somebody will benefit from that ignorance. Then in today's discussion, we are looking at, we are going to look at also the report on, by African Union, especially on management of or governance of natural resources and its recommendation particularly when it's coming to corporate affairs, how should state-owned enterprises can be able to be strengthened and drive key priority area. So let us get a short commercial break, then we can come back straight to it. However, you can still engage with us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. So you can give your view, you can give your opinion, because it's quite crucial, important, and also necessary to give your critical contribution, because you will be surprised that you are the person who can be able to educate other. You will be surprised that your contribution matters more, because it could be that you are a person with more experience. And I'm always very happy when I'm challenged and I'm being, advised to think critically or differently by the callers, because that is the way we're supposed to see things. That's the way we're supposed to see things. We cannot just operate from one angle. But if you operate from different angle, even through the discussion and the debate, you can be able to find a solution to that. And being advised to debate, especially to the young people, advise them to say, when you are debating, when you are joining a debate club, yes, you must learn your technical skills of rebuttals and counter arguments and all these things and be the best speaker. But the very important thing is that this country was not built by the best speakers. This country was not built by people who speak the Queen's English correctly and, smoothly. It was built by people who find solutions, because debates must be able to bring about different views and solutions to problems, especially debates of economy, debates on development. And also those who are teaching children at school about debate, don't just bring about this small topic to say, no, mother is better than father. Or those, if you attend debates, you understand what I mean. But let us teach young people how to think at a very young age to say, this is the economic angle of a discussion. Do research and go on one-on-one with another person. Then we see how we can solve this issue. So you can engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. It's 58 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are here. We are here until the hour of eight, when you're going to head over the mic to Big Mic to unpack the day. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can go straight to it.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows?
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Kapena onda do, ya fa onda do ya ShopRite. Otori paka mo, okwetera enda do dilipedo. Toy kumbi wae aishe, ongashi, omakendiri ya hamano, woi tira imwe. Your right brand, long life full cream milk. Ketora diri, efreno nungu nungwei, esenda, omirongo nungwei nungwei. Oshoyo, ekiro hara madiri ne, the real good frozen chicken. Yoi pambu ya rumba kanifwa, ketora, efreno mirongo nungwei nane, esenda, omirongo nungwei nungwei. Inofuta, shitiru fepo onda do ya ShopRite. Enda doedi, oti nungu shufi yoma fiku nungwei, a November, otura oil tray. Oko ShopRite, apuke, kara, o programa yo, catch, ready, steady, cook, ko One Africa TV. Otoyete wanuma panduro, ko ShopRite, Namibia.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with every morning scoop. We are looking at issues of economic development. Before we go to the main conversation, it's quite very important to look at the Villager newspaper. That is your number one economic newspaper. But just today, also today is the birthday of the head of state. Happy birthday, Madam President. Today is the head of it's a birthday of the president of Namibia, this Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. And I must wish the president a birthday, because no matter your understanding and ideology, the head of state is the most respected person in the country. And he's also somebody who is, you know, not everybody can be a president. It may look easy, but not everybody can be a president, because your whole team is full of making difficult decision on behalf of the people, and also making difficult decision on behalf of the state. And it's quite very difficult. It's a very difficult job to have. Not everybody can be a president, but the fact that we have a first female president in Namibia leading the state machinery, and also representing us, it's quite a very beautiful thing. And we must assist in implementing what need to be implemented, particularly looking at national development, and also issues of key priority areas. So it's the birthday of the president today. Today the president is the baby. We must give respect and strength for that. But yeah, looking ahead, let's look at the Villager newspaper. As we are telling you. Always. So, as we are telling you always, that every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, you have access to economic insight, particularly when it comes to the Villager newspaper. You have access to economic insight, and let us look at what we have in the Villager newspaper today. What do we have in the Villager newspaper today? Especially when it comes to economic news. On top of the Villager newspaper today, there is an article that is mixed feelings about oil and gas industry. Different views and perspectives about oil and gas industry. And this is an article by my colleague Dwight Lins, and looking at researchers' opinions and researchers' views. We'll be able to understand research-based findings, and you also be able to understand to say what are the Namibian people think about oil and gas. What are some of the development? What are the key industrial players saying about oil and gas? And also you can be able to learn to say, if you want to invest in the industry, how can you strategically move, and what are the red flags there? But it's quite an interesting article to read, and go deep into it. At the second page, or the third page actually, of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to see 2026 application of new programs at Valvicha, Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. And some of the courses here state that it's certificate in project management. We need effective project managers in Namibia. Certificate in supply chain. Diploma in project management. Diploma in supply chain, level 6. Bachelor's of Science in Computing Information System. That is honors degree, level 8. Then you have Bachelor's of Supply Chain Management, honors blended city campus. That is an honors degree in supply chain. Then you have a postgraduate diploma in inclusive education, and that is found at Velvicia University. And applications are still ongoing until the 30th of November 2025. Get an opportunity to go to school, whether you are 30 years, you are 40 years, or you are 50, even you are on retirement. Get an opportunity to go to school, because education is more than a qualification. Education is the greatest investment, can improve your thinking. And you also not get old, because a mind that reads will never get old. And that's why you see those who engage in reading, because as far as you are exercising the body, the mind that reads, that is also an exercise of the mind. And when we are growing up, we are going to prevent ourselves to be suffering from diseases such as dementia, forgetfulness, and many other diseases which come with years. So when you look at an example, and I like giving example of retired teachers who love reading and continue reading, or those who involve in religious activities who love reading, you realize that they continue to be sharp, and their mind continue to be sharp until advanced age. Hello.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good to you, boss.
I'm well. How is the morning?
The morning is fine.
Yes, what is your contribution today?
Man, with regard to, I wanted, haven't you hear anything from Cameroon?
From Cameroon? No, there are protests there. People are protesting. They're in the street. I've heard they're in the street. I just did not look at that news.
Seems like the defense has also joined.
Jane, I need to catch up on. No, you can update us on that, and it's fine. You can still update us.
It just reached me now.
Yeah,
I still have to verify.
Okay.
Yeah. South Africa is doing what?
South Africa is accepting a JEP, which is a vaccine for HIV. That is it's a JEP vaccine. It's a JEP which is taken for 2 years. I mean in the range of 2 years to prevent HIV infection.
For me, when it comes to those things,
yeah,
I'm a little bit certain, you know, and I wish that some of those entities or sectors should be actually be taken away from the private and then just be run by the state. And then they must be for free. Then the world will be healthier.
No, it's true, man.
Because by then there will be no interest.
Yeah.
Because these whole things of medicines and pharmaceuticals, it's all about money. It's not about the healthy of the world.
I hear you.
Yeah. The world have got a lot of commodities, or state must have a lot of commodities. They must just arrest their commodities and make money and fund this on their own. Then the world will be healthier. This is one thing that I am always thinking, because when I followed this pharmaceutical to how they put some stuff that makes people sick in order for them to make money, it's just absurd. You know, like in America, I had a friend in America who always said 90% of American citizens they live on medicine.
So they depend on medicine.
The medicine is supposed to make you healthier.
Yeah.
You consume them or you drink them.
Yeah.
But once they are completely out of your body, your body demands that again.
No, you know that is a legalized drug. They call it as a legalized drug. You become addicted to it. It's true. And you are chasing people who
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, we were saying yes. No, everybody's on, not everybody, but most people are on drugs they do not know.
They don't know. That's why When you just have a small thing, don't go to a doctor. He will prescribe you to a medicine that you will live with it for the rest of your life. But you're not supposed to live with that.
There was a time I went to a certain pharmacy. And, I've seen a person, I'm not going to say it's a woman or a female. I mean, or a maid, but this person was in the queue buying, a lot of medicine and you can see this person is a professional. They say, no, this one is for what? This one is just to make the body healthy. And I'm asking myself to say, are all these things going to the body of a person? Does this person understand what's going to be? And it's something which really pained me. No, I also have a little bit of headache. Give me the other thing.
You are poisoning yourself.
No. You don't even know how the decision that you are making, if they are conscious decision or you are just making them because you are using those things. A lot of them. And most of these things. And on top of that, the person also has maybe medication from a doctor and also booster. And you're asking yourself to say, what are we doing to ourselves, Africans?
My friend,
sometimes you feel fatigued, you just need to exercise or poor.
This is where I was telling people that a sick world is $1 trillion.
It's a good business.
And they would want to increase that. They want, you see, they will do that. And this is where I was telling people, look, why do you think these countries like these companies that were actually producing vaccines for COVID-19 did not want the Chinese and the Russians vaccines to
come in
to be used. And then they created a lot of propaganda because it's side effects, they do this and what and all those things. Why do you think? Because it was them who created their mine. It was they found a mine in order for them to make money. And the Chinese and the Russians, they were not part of the mine.
They come to rescue.
So they come
to, they want to stop the business.
You are taking us out of business. Eh?
It's true.
Yeah.
Ask yourself this question to say, somebody who supply medicine to your country, that person is thinking to supply that medicine for the next 20 years, but your aim is to cure your nation so that you can be free. You understand?
You want a long life contract.
Yeah, I want a long life contract. And that is why we are not getting the picture to say, why do we have to panic when medicine get finished from the pharmacy? Is that what we can do only?
Diabetes.
Yeah.
And other disease, sugar, whatever, they are curables in China and also in Russia. But in our world, it's not. You live on medicine.
And people accepted that. Just hold on, hold on.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
As we head to the polls on 26 November 2025 to elect our representatives as regional and local authority councillors, you have to be present to be represented. Your voice can only count if you put it in the ballot box. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, you were speaking about diabetes and other disease curable in China. What do you mean by that?
No, they are curables in China. They cure that, but here in Namibia, so or in the world of in the world of capitalism,
can't. Are you a leftist?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah.
In everything that we somehow consume, there are some elements that are actually designed to make people sick.
I hear you.
Being it water, being alcohol, being food, and everything.
You have a point, Dene.
Yeah, in order for the pharmaceuticals to make money. And this is where I said states or government must arrest these sectors and help them in their corners. We can fund that.
It's true.
You see? Then the world will be healthier. AIDS itself, the gold mines, when it comes to the Americans. The complete gold mines. They make, do you think they cannot stop that? They can. Just like this, tuberculosis or whatever something, where do you see that anymore? It's curable.
Yeah.
All those diseases are man-made diseases, in order for them to make money. You must follow, RF Junior, the Minister of Health now. They say Secretary of Health.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's even now following, you know, there were even these things of, you know, this, newborn kids.
Yes.
Being born, then they inject them. They were saying there has been a lot of autism and disorders in those, among those kids.
Yeah.
So what they did is that they took other kids that were not injected, and those that are injected, and then they run and they run in an examination to try and find out exactly. They find out that those that were actually injected, like polios and all those things that they say, they were having a lot of disorders. Autism, and then the other ones does not have. You look at those things and you say, oh, so this is how it is.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Do we have that thinking in our, I don't want to say our Minister of Health, just in our leaders themselves, to say when it comes to deal with medication, you know, you'll be surprised how many people, especially how many people depend on medication, not really because that is what they want, but because that is what they were taught, and they believe that that is only going to be like that.
Do you know that people have this belief of everything that you're actually being given by the doctor is right?
I hear you.
You see?
Yeah, I hear you.
They even think that maybe a doctor stand in the lab and come up with medicines like that.
They think he's the one who made them. So it's not like the traditional guy who knows this herb is from this one is from this one.
Yeah. A doctor is just somebody who has trained to see if a person feels like that, then you can prescribe this kind of medicine. But he does not know the content of that medicine.
It's a mechanic, not an engineer.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. So, but what do you need to do? Because these things are also eating on people's money. Ask yourself this question. In a long term of financial tracking, for example, this medical aid thing, who at the end of the day benefiting from this?
it's just like I'm saying,
yeah.
If you follow what the American government are doing, you will find out. You see, there are things where Trump is doing good things.
You said RF Jr., ne?
RF Jr. You follow that guy. Just search for him and follow him.
Okay.
All these Pfizer's, the Madonna's and all those things, they are being taken to court. But, you know, these people, most of these companies owners, they were actually spartans because even the politics were having interest on those people.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the senators, they were actually being paid. So each bill that comes that has to do with the pharmaceuticals, then they just pass without any questions or any objectives because they have got interest on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even those vaccines for COVID-19, those companies are actually being taken to court. Yeah. So I wanted to, at the end, I wanted to comment on Dakota.
Okay, Dakota.
Yeah, Dakota, or even that guy. I think what he is actually doing is very, very great, especially when it's come to mobilize the fellow Nigerians to put money in order for them to buy a share. This is what we want. We want our own refinery. We want our plant to refine our own natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
Our natural resources must be value added in our own countries, in our only domain. And that is very good. So, and this is what I'm actually encouraging even our president to say, if you want to build a refinery, go to countries like Botswana, Zambia, all those countries. Invite all the business women and even the state itself.
Angola.
Let's put money together and Angola. Let's build something of our own, Africans. It's good. That is what we somehow want. And you know, this will automatically create leverage among the countries. Because when you have an asset that is in Namibia, an enemy cannot come and say you have to be against Namibians. They are not good. They will think of the asset that they are actually having there. And then the Zambia will also think of that. No, we have got an asset there. Why should we do that? This is how you create leverage.
Even security also. Leverage
between Russia. In terms of security, obviously, this is what I'm talking about. You see what the Russian has done with the Chinese. You see what the Indian has done with the Russian.
Even the
bond between the countries. You can no longer come there and say, look, what are you going to give me? There's nothing that you can give me that like the one that I'm actually being given by Namibia. Nothing.
No, I hear you.
You keep that relationship there. You keep that privilege on top of each other. Namibia has got privilege on Botswana. Botswana has privilege on Namibia, Zambia, and so on, Angola, and so on. And then it's one nation.
I hear you. So just two words, especially at the Namibia corporate governance. I'm looking at Namibia corporate governance today, but my concern is really in line and connected to the discussion that we are having right now. To say, for example, if you want critical state entities to function very well, what is the best way to do it? Because for example, now we have the mines. I don't want to touch it there because there's a lot of unclear information. With the Minister of Mines, it's interim, there's now an interim minister. Then you have, within the Minister of Mines, you have under that there are SOEs such as NIDA. There's still an acting CEO. You have NAMCO. It's a very critical institution now. Then you have an acting MD. But when are we going to strengthen this institution and also give trust to those who are doing business with us?
I think the biggest problem that we are having, I think we have several factors. Perhaps maybe we don't have enough funds, or the bureaucracy or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also the negative effect of technocrats. Yeah, so these are one of the things that we really need to iron out and make sure that we are actually going forward. I think the president is doing great.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to jump on conclusions because you hear somebody saying this, somebody saying, saying this. But I'm still standing that in order, I'm still standing on my statement or my argument that a very good environmental has be created or being set up by the government itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government must also have a little bit of power in order to regulate and also to prevent those that want to have their own own interests rather than the government itself or the state itself.
So,
and this is where I even said, okay, why is the government not issuing those licenses or those things? And then they say a certain percent, it's mine. Especially when it's come to the mine. Because now, these foreigners, they come in and say they fear there's a loopholes here. They can fund somebody and say, look, we're going to put the 30 million in your account.
Yeah.
You're going to apply for this one.
Yeah.
After you get it, you bring my money.
Mm.
You sell it to me, I buy it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then automatically it's 100% owned by a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Do you understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for input. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, my boss.
All right, cool.
Great.
Yes, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop and looking at the deep conversation from the caller, especially the input on medication is to say, let's think this way, long term to say, because one point which I also got from the caller is that and I'm fully support with it to say, if a pharmaceutical company is not a bad thing, providing of medication is not a bad thing, but commodifying the health of a human being is a crime. Commodifying a body of a human being is a crime to say you are going to depend on this drug until the kingdom come. And you find people believe in that. But the question is that how can we do best? What we can do best? So, and they're saying, some medication is a drug that can be given to you just to prolong you, but to continue to depend on it. And then you find a lot of us with our ignorance, we find ourselves, depending on, illegal drug that is given to us and is killing the budget. It's killing the budget because most of the developing countries budget is on social welfare. Now ask yourself this question. China found cure to a lot of diseases which are critical in Africa. Now, ask yourself this question to say why the black market of rhino horns, for example, continue to be, a case no matter intensifying of police and security in those protected areas. Because one of the arguments is that rhino horns is used to cure diseases. And it's useful for medication, real medications. Now ask yourself this question. Can we use Namibian scientists to investigate that to say, what is that we can use from the rhinos that we have? Can be used for medical purposes? Legally, what is that we can use? Not all of them. Then we can also see to say, maybe it could be that, that would be our direction. But yeah, let's take the caller. And also see the contribution, what he or she has to say. Good morning. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Shombe.
Good morning, sir. How are you? You are calling me?
Yeah, no, it's fine. You know, sometimes we are just trying to grab a chance.
No, it's good.
You were explaining.
You must be like an eagle. You pick the prey that people cannot see. By the time they wake up, you are airborne.
So you were just talking about a very critical issue about lifelong adult and lifelong learning. Continuous learning.
Oh yeah, it's part of the, it's not the main conversation, but it's part of the conversation.
I heard you when you were exchanging a mic with Matiasa. This is Matiasa.
Yeah.
So I was listening from that time.
Mm.
So the only time I wasn't listening, maybe it was just a grab of you told us that we should also engage in physical education, the development.
Yeah, before you go there, today is the birthday of the president. What do you say?
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, need to say you have congratulated her already.
Okay.
Let me also join you in congratulating her or wishing her more strength and courage.
Yeah.
And wisdom. I know she has all those attributes, qualities. And we are happy that because yesterday, people, you see, there is a serious need of education. Because I was seated behind the computer almost 3 hours in a certain place.
Yeah.
And there was a lady, people were talking. There were people from different political affiliation and organization and things like that. And many of those ones, they were in one common aim. I don't know why you were also talking about the opposition. Whether maybe there are some legal issues to be considered when you are, whenever there is some kind of elections and things like that, perhaps there are also issues to be reviewed and look at and examine, maybe those are legal issues, or maybe some facts that they might be having to, you know, but many a times we have realized that it's only the opposition. No wonder why they are saying opposition. So sometimes they just oppose anything as long as it doesn't go into their favor. Have you not heard in Namibia here when they already pronounced themselves as winners before the Electoral Commission has announced the result?
Yeah.
You have said all those kind of things. Because sometimes they say it's a win, lose, but we are saying it's a win-win situation in democracy. There's nobody who is a loser. I'm still hearing people saying, oh, this one is a loser, this one is a loser.
But why do you have a word of losing?
No, it's just a losing because you come before, I mean, I come behind you, or maybe you couldn't perform properly.
We are all winners.
I think so, because we are all contributing to the development of the country.
Yeah, I hear you. Actually, it's
where you are really antagonistic and they become destructive.
I hear you. We are all winners.
Many people like that, you know, talking about peace and stability, and if it happens, just because people are pushing, yeah, we have done this. And the people were saying, the president, and they were quoting Article 41.
Yeah.
Maybe, and then I tried to read it, Article 41. Try to read and then and then I said, is it not maybe, and it was just a tie for the time being anyway.
Yes.
So all those issues, they do happen and affect our democratic process and things like that. But you want to come in before I conclude with what I wanted to say anyway.
No. You are already at the conclusion because we are still going to the conversation. We still have more minutes. We can still come back.
Oh, no. Okay, so then, we just need to conclude, perhaps on my own side, because we're also putting questions to those ones. And I said, fine.
Yeah.
So we are still building. And in fact, I'm also concentrated looking at, I want to focus on those people who have got to know, perhaps because the Chinese, they believe in their indigenous knowledge. So all those indigenous knowledge, we have them.
Okay.
We have got all our indigenous issues and we don't promote those institutions, those systems and processes.
But why are we?
Good.
The question is that why are we also taking time to formalize our indigenous medication? We are taking time. We need somebody to come from outside and do that. But let us also look at that. Yeah. Yeah. What the caller have said has value. Because, you know, in election, everybody is a winner. But you can't have two winners. Somebody must take over that position. But remember, you know how weird it's going to be. If you want to see the way we think, how weird it's going to be. If you go to an election without any competition, how are you going to declare that you are the winner? Imagine you are a boxer. You enter a ring. Then they start giving you, you know, titles that tell you are the WBA champion, WBO champion. How are you going to feel without entering into any competition? That's why we are always saying to say, for you to have a healthy democracy, you must have a competitor. And we must also respect our competitors, because if you do not have a competition, if you don't have an opposition, you will never grow. And that's how we build institutions. If you do not have anyone to compete with you in politics, you'll never grow. And in a democratic country, and I find it very weird, even to the young people calling each other sellouts, these words that were used that time when Africa was fighting an external colonizer. And I think to say, how are you guys going to develop? How are you going to accommodate ideas? But yeah, looking at the conversation for today, we are really asking questions to say, when it's coming to our SOEs, what is the best way? When is PEGA Act going to come out with? Because we understand it's under review, and there are some speculation and views that some powers are going to be delegated to somebody who in public service. But we don't want to work on prediction and also on perception. We want to see the outcome of that PEGA Act. Let us wish it's come out with the well-revised, you know, act, especially when it's coming to running of state-owned institutions. And also the main issue of coordination. The main issues of coordination, because looking at developed countries, and China has been given as an example, but we can also give Singapore and others, even India and Brazil. You look at their state-owned enterprise. All the key areas, they're functioning state-owned enterprise. It's water, it's transport, it's airline, it's energy, it's infrastructure. And, those key sectors, is telecommunication. They have well, effective, state-owned enterprises, and with good governance structure, with well-established governance structure. And the question also that we are asking is to say, have we ever looked ourselves, have we ever taken ourselves at the way, in a way to say, in terms of state-owned infrastructure, state-owned enterprises that are dealing with infrastructures in Namibia, at what leadership state they are in, at what funding state they are in, what reputations do they have, are they making profit or loss, are they operating at a healthy ground with other state-owned enterprises. Then you look at airline, the state-owned enterprises which are dealing with airlines, where are they even existing? Those who are existing, at what functioning level are they? If you have to put a thermometer in the ambit of that state-owned enterprises, at what level of temperature are they? Are they healthy? And how are they dealing with driving key priority areas to make sure that an ordinary Namibian, benefit from natural resources, and also not only to say benefit, but also to live a quality life, because at the center of every discussion, particularly developmental discussion, must always be centered at the improvement of the quality of life of an individual. Now, looking at the health sector, the state-owned enterprises that are dealing with health sector, at what level are they? At what funding level are they? How much is invested in state-owned enterprises that are dealing with research on medication, diagnosis, and how are you going to deal with that issue? Then now you can also come to the question of leadership. This is really something that we need to discuss, and we need to assist each other to say, when it's coming to SOEs, the corporate fights, people are throwing each other punches. Why there is a distance between what is written and what is being realized. And I'm somebody who always asking questions to say, when you bring about something, especially something that has to do with if you promise a poor person something with numbers, that is where I'm going to be interested in you. I don't have a problem with a state institution saying we are going to do our best. I don't have a problem with that. But when you say to somebody who does not, and they know Shwamba, they think to say, and if you are promising somebody blind eyes, that person is still going to ask you every morning, say, where are my eyes that you promised me? If you state, for example, within your strategic objective in the present to say 30,000 jobs in 20, by 2030, whether you are in a different sector, people want to align with you because you are speaking a positive news to say 30,000 jobs by 2030, one SOE. Where are they? How many do you create in 2 months? That is where the argument should be. And also the issue of do we have trust in the way our system is set, particularly the public service? I mean the public sector, not to say but the public sector structure. Do we have trust in the public service structure, or do we need to redefine it and realign it with what we need at the moment? I don't want to push for issues of integration of any institution, but you agree with me. It's not only me who stated that. At the beginning, there was a statement to say, no, NASAF is going to be integrated at the Ministry of Education. I don't know where that process is. I don't know when it's going to happen. There was, when trade and Mirko was integrated, that was accepted. There was an argument about investment board being integrated. There was also a proposal, policies there. Then things become very quiet. And I'm also scared of expanding that. But that is what it is, to say alignment and coordination. Because the problems does not go away when you just state it. But when you do something about it, it can go away. Now, there's also through political conversation to say, there is no way Namibia is going to be standing without an airline. I want that airline to come back. Do we have a plan about that? Or it was just a statement during elections. And we must really discuss about these issues, particularly those who are heading those things to say, Chief, this is a recording. This is your statement. This is what you have promised me. But where are you in terms of this process of reviving the airline? If things are not working, if there is things, you can come back and report to the people. That's why words matter in this environment, because come back and report to say, no, I spoke about this airline to be revived, but looking at our budget now, things are not balancing, or the economy is not doing very well. But instead of that, we can have an alternative of doing a business, or let us look at 5 years from now. Then you focus on other areas. Because, like we discussed yesterday, is to say, the expectation is like somebody in the relationship who is having high expectation. But when those expectations are not met, the person will come and burst on you. But there was no clear communication to say, no, maybe I said I'm going to buy you a car at the end of this year, but things did not go well. Instead of you buying you a car, I can just buy you this bed or something, or anything. But there must be communication between the governed and the governor, the leader and the citizens, and the SOE and those who they are answering to. And let us hope when PEGA Act is coming out, it's well revised, and there is a clear definition of roles and responsibilities. And also the thing of you have two types of SOEs. You have profit-making SOEs. Then you also have, non-profit-making SOEs, which in some cases, these are regulators. These are regulators, and you also have funds. And you'll be able also to look at those aspects to say, what can we do to strengthen our SOE? Because development should be and must be driven by SOEs. UK, China is a very good example, because it has been a developing state, a developmental state, not yet a first world, but it's beating out all the first world countries in terms of the key performance indicator in its development. So yeah, that is a conversation, and also the issues of now, how should we get trust from the world if we are not putting our house in order? And I wish the corporate leaders must also be able to understand. I mean, the SOE leaders must also be able to do what they said at public sector, private, at the public private sector forum, to say, we understand your vision. This is what we are going to do. Because in most cases, SOE leaders and executives, they are coming from a different area. These are the corporate leaders from either private sector or any other field. But their job should be aligned with what the state wants. If not, the fight will not end. Punches in the boardroom will not end. And we will continue to suffer as ordinary Namibian due to these things now. It's 48 minutes. It's 48 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at the issues of development, issues of governance, and how we can make Namibia great. Not great again, but are going to make Namibia great. And also, how can we improve the way we do things? Because discussions, they matter, because people think, people contribute, and people learn. And also, what is your role to play? Because if... And I have a problem with people who forget very easily. I do not want you to go and bust on people. I want you to go and ask, because it's not the responsibility of a leader to come to you and say, you remember what I promised you, this is what I'm doing. It's you, because you are exchanging your power with that leader, to say, I'm going to vote for you. Yes, I love your party and all these things, but I cannot eat the flank of your party. I can also not eat what you are telling me, but what are you going to do to me? I mean, for me, yes, I'm going to build this one. I'm going to give you opportunities, and I'm going to do this in the next 5 years. Okay, cool. Vote you, you are a counselor. Then I give you opportunity 2 years on the line, 3 years. Then I have to come to say, no, chief, where are you standing? I'm still not able to do my business correctly. I'm still being violated here. I'm still struggling to pay for my school kids' fee, or I'm still struggling to access the market due to this complication in terms of road infrastructure. What are you doing about it? Then there we can hold each other accountable. And we, the moment you keep a lid on their toe, they also respect you, because that is a community effort. But for us to forget very easily, we even end up so shocked that 80% of things that they were supposed to be done, they are not done. But the leaders hold them accountable in a respectful manner. They can also be able to work with you. Then you can also assist them. Yes. Hello. Yes. Hello.
I'm back again. Yeah. Just like other callers are not coming.
Yeah. They are waiting for you.
For me, I'm not really a person that attend rallies.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, I listened.
Okay. Listen, how?
I only follow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can retrieve what the president has said or whoever has said or something like that.
Okay.
Or I can call somebody.
Okay.
So, because I might stood up and said, look, last year you told us.
So you know yourself.
That is my reason.
Okay.
And this is where I actually, this is where I consider politicians like pastors. You know, pastors will come and preach and say, the angels are flying and what, but he had never seen one.
Mm.
You say, where are they? I want to go. I was the only one that possessed eyes. Yeah, while you are there, 2019 election campaign, we were gathered by SWAPO.
Okay.
When we were in Katima.
Okay.
We went and the SWAPO officer.
Okay.
And they told us, look, you guys, you have to go out there in communities and mobilize people to vote for the team. And I said, you guys remember what you have told the people after 25 years?
Yeah.
Yes, we want to go and do that. We can do that.
Yeah.
But you need to understand that people now understand and they completely remember what you have told them last year.
And it's the same you.
Yeah, and it's the same me.
Yeah.
That's the reason I come up with that argument.
Yeah.
I said, and then I said, do you people, especially you people here in Katima, realize that you're sitting on a gold mine? Not specifically a gold mine, but once you realize that, you then realize that it compared to a gold mine. I think, the chairperson of that meeting was Mr. Kelo Treya, and then it was also that times of when the BDF were shooting Namibians.
Oh yeah, it's that time. Yeah, it's really that time.
Yeah, yeah. And the tension was very, very high among those people. Very, very high.
Yeah.
And there was a time when they wrote the letter and then they wanted that letter to be received by the president and the president refused. So they ask, what do you mean people in this region sitting on the gold?
Yeah.
I said, look, you have a vast land there close to the border post.
Filter.
If you go to Venela border post right now, I'm coming from there.
Yeah.
There's about 50 trucks waiting for their paper to be finished so that they can carry on to Valdez Bay. And each consignment that they carry is equivalent to 45 to 33 stones. Those stones, they run on our road.
Yeah.
And that road from Katima to Vaves Bay is almost 1,400 kilometers. And we spend more money to maintain that road each and every second year. How much money? Don't you think if we can build a railway from Grootfontein to Rundu and create a dry port there in Rundu.
Yeah.
And then we take it from Rundu to Katima and then again create a dry port there. And then we say every consignment that is equivalent to 40, 30 must be on the train, on the rail. Don't you think we can make money and we pay those people?
Indeed.
And then we can no longer spend that money that we used to spend to maintain that road.
Even logistics become easy.
So there was a councillor, I think he's a late councillor now, he's one of my friends, who went around and looked for me. What were you saying? You raised a very good point here. I want to go and raise that point. We need people like you. Unfortunately, that councillor died in a car accident.
Money.
Yeah, he would always come to me and say, look, man, we are going to say this and this and this. What are we going to say?
But
he was a very good guy. Once you happen to be with him, sometimes you won't even realize he was a councillor or something like
that. Yeah, he was a thinker.
Good guy who was there, he said, you know why
yeah.
live among the society or community is to observe and try and find out exactly what these people want. Indeed. And also to have ideas from people like you. And you were just about to, you were just drafting it or compiling it to go and raise that point. But I understand 2-3 years we were raising that point, because I raised it also on this radio when who was the Zimbabwean guy?
Kevin.
No. Wangu Kunchu.
There was
a guy who, a Zimbabwean guy. Wanda Guju. And then they said, I think right now it is not there, it's just money.
These are the things. Continue.
I think if we can, you know, once you do that, you have also revived Trans Namib is also dying.
No, it's
but a. It's if you can come up something like that, then obviously it will come off the ground.
No, I don't know. How do you, is it a corporate? I don't want to say it's a corporate ICU, but I want to see it coming back, because that the functionality of Trans Namib and the effectiveness of Trans Namib can mean a lot, even in terms of job creation, because what the point that you are raising is also job creation.
And
it's long term.
And saving money also.
And
it's a long term.
Thank you, Nate. All right,
thank you.
All right, cool.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Yeah. It's quite very important to look at the ideas which expand national development, particularly expanding a railway. Logistic has always been a center of discussion. To say, if you expand a logistic, connection, if you expand, connect railways, and that was a dream of the founding father. If you expand that, you are creating job in the process, and you're also making life easier. You are preventing accidents. But the other time I was asking to say, why Namibia is, has the best roads in Africa? In terms of road infrastructure, but in terms of number of accidents happen on that roads are continue to increasing. Look at the statistical MVA fund. But that is a good, and the Namibians, we have this thing of if somebody come up with an idea, yes, you may be the one who present it, but it's also good to ask a person deeply to say, what do you mean by that? That's why somebody can run away with your business idea, then end up establishing a successful business, but it's not long term because the thing is not yours. Ask a person and be the connector in those national development, because that is the only way we are going to move forward. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Big Mac to unpack the day. We are 1 minute before 8 o'clock, and this brings us to the end of conversation, especially regarding the issues of governance. But just what is happening, it's up to you to go and look at the update. What's happening in Cameroon is that people are in the street. Cameroon faced with second day of political turmoil on Tuesday following the official proclamation of presidential elections, with protests disrupting cities, drawing international condemnation over violent suppression of demonstration and arbitrary arrest. There is chaos. There is, something that we need to look at in Cameroon, especially after the 92-year-old Paul Biya got the 8th term leadership to extend his leadership to 43 years in power. And really, something that must be looked at. Stated that European Union issued a strong statement expressing deep concern about violent repression of demonstration, deploring the death by firearm of several civilians. People are shot down there, and let us go and check what is happening. And also the question to say, is this the Africa that we want? And is this the Africa that we are planning under Agenda 2063? Or the other Africa is going to come from a different area? And who should make Africa better? Is it you and me? Is it us? Is our leaders? And is by defining what you want, and also be accommodative and think about others before ourselves,
And yeah, so from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now and see you around.